Warner Brothers Pictures Incorporated presents Humphrey Bogart, Ingrid Bergman, Paul Henreid in Casablanca with Claude Rains, Conrad Veidt, Sidney Greenstreet, Peter Lorre, and S.K. Saskall, Madeleine LeBeau, Dooley Wilson, Joy Page, John Quaylen, Leonard Kinski, Kurt Boyce. Screenplay by Julius J. and Philip G. Epstein and Howard Koch. From a play by Murray Burnett and Joan Allison. Music by Max Steiner. A Hal B. Wallace production. Directed by Michael Curtis. A map of Africa and Arabia.
With the coming of the Second World War, many eyes in imprisoned Europe turned hopefully or desperately toward the freedom of the Americas. Lisbon became the great embarkation point, but not everybody could get to Lisbon directly, and so a tortuous roundabout refugee trail sprang up. Paris to Marseille.
On a map, a line snakes south from Paris.
Across the Mediterranean to Oran.
A dotted line traces the journey from Marseille to Oran.
Then by train or auto or foot across the rim of Africa to Casablanca in French Morocco. Here the fortunate ones, through money or influence or luck, might obtain exit visas and scurry to Lisbon. And from Lisbon to the New World. But the others wait in Casablanca and wait and wait and wait.
A busy street. The Vichy Military Office.
To all officers, two German couriers carrying important official documents, murdered on train from Oran. Murderer and possible accomplices headed for Casablanca. Round up all suspicious characters and search them for stolen document. Important.
A car drives along a bustling street in Casablanca. Another car containing five officers pulls to a halt. They leap out and seize a man wearing a suit and a fedora, while other officials grab a second man who's just about to flee. Local police tap a third man on the shoulder.
May we see your papers?
I don't think I have them on me.
In that case, we'll have to ask you to come along.
Wait, it's possible that, yes. Here we are.
These papers expired 3 weeks ago. You have to come along.
Halt! Halt!
The man clutches at his back, then falls to the ground. The officers pull a piece of paper from the man's hand. They unroll it, and it reads, Free France. A number of men are escorted into the law courts.
I don't know, my dear.
Pardon, monsieur. Pardon, madame. Have you not heard?
We hear very little, and we understand even less.
Two German couriers were found murdered in the desert, the unoccupied desert. This is the customary roundup of refugees, liberals, and, of course, a beautiful young girl for monsieur Renault, the prefect of police.
The tourists look on.
Unfortunately, along with these unhappy refugees, the scum of Europe has gravitated to Casablanca. Some of them have been waiting years for a visa. I beg of you, monsieur, watch yourself. Be on guard. This place is full of vultures, vultures everywhere, everywhere.
Thank you very much.
Not at all. Au revoir, monsieur. Au revoir, madame.
Au revoir. Amusing little fellow. Waiter. Oh, how silly of me.
Oh, dear.
I left my wallet at the hotel.
Oh.
He stares after the man who's just left them. Clutching their papers, a motley crew of people are staring up at a plane, including a young man and his female companion, who looks wistful.
Perhaps tomorrow we'll be on the plane.
The plane touches down. The aircraft comes to a halt outside a building, where military personnel are standing to attention. Three men get out of the plane's cabin.
It is very good to see you again, Major Strasser.
Thank you.
May I present Captain Renault, Police Protector of Casablanca, Major Strasser.
An occupied France welcomes you to Casablanca.
Thank you, Captain. It's very good to be here.
Major Strasser, my aide, Lieutenant Cassell.
Captain Tonelli, the Italian staff is at your command, Major.
Very kind of you.
Major.
Tonelli and Cassell are arguing.
You may find the climate of Casablanca a trifle warm, Major.
Oh, we Germans must get used to all climates, from Russia to the Sahara. But perhaps you were not referring to the weather.
What else, my dear Major?
Why, the murder of the couriers. What has been done?
Well, realizing the importance of the case, my men are rounding up twice the usual number of suspects.
Do you know already who the murderer is?
Good. Is he in custody?
Oh, there's no hurry. Tonight he'll be at Rick's. Everybody comes to Rick's.
I have already heard about this cafe, and also about Mr. Rick himself.
Nighttime. There's a steady trickle of people heading towards a bar in the town called Rick's Café Américain. As two men in uniform escort a lady inside, they smile at the doorman, who's wearing a long tunic, a white shirt tucked into baggy trousers, and a fez. He bows politely. Waiters attired in white jackets and black bow ties wait on tables. Ornate lamps hang from the ceiling, and there's a live band playing. Sitting a little distance away from them is a black man playing the piano and singing. In another area of the cafe, a suited man clutches his drink nervously, while his male companion savors a cigarette.
Waiting. I'll never get out of here. I'm dying, Casablanca.
But can't you make it just a little more, please?
Sorry, madame, but diamonds are a drug on the market. Everybody sells diamonds. There are diamonds everywhere. 2,400.
All right.
The trucks are ready. The men are waiting.
Everything.
It's the fishing smack Santiago. It leaves at 1 tomorrow night, here from the end of La Medina, the third boat.
Thank you.
And bring the 15,000 francs in cash. Remember, in cash.
A waiter behind the bar serves a drink to a young, slim man.
Cheerio.
Open up, Abdul.
Yes, sir, Professor.
Good gratis, senor.
Thank you, madame. Left, pour, monsieur.
A woman turns to a nearby waiter.
Waiter?
Yes, madame?
Will you ask Rick if he has a drink with us?
Madame, he never drinks with customers. Never. I have never seen it.
What makes saloon keepers so snobbish?
Perhaps if you told him I ran the second largest banking house in Amsterdam.
The second largest? That wouldn't impress Rick. The leading banker in Amsterdam is now the pastry chef in our kitchen.
We have something to look forward to.
And his father is the bellboy. Good.
Oh, madame.
Monsieur.
The maitre d' approaches a man sitting at a table and passes him a checkbook. The man signs, OK, Rick, in large cursive handwriting, then hands it back. Rick inhales thoughtfully on his cigarette while he looks at a chessboard. He nods at the doorman, who admits a woman and two men, but bars a third man from entering.
Excuse me.
Rick shakes his head.
I'm sorry, sir. This is a private room.
Of all the nerve. Who do you think? I know there is gambling in there. There is no secret. You dare not keep me out of here.
Yes, what's the trouble?
These gentlemen... I have been in every gambling room between Honolulu and Berlin. And if you think I'm going to be kept out of a saloon like this, you're very much mistaken.
Excuse me, please.
Hello, Rick.
Your cash is good at the bar.
What? Do you know who I am?
I do. You're lucky the bar's open to you.
This is outrageous. I shall report it to the Angriff.
You know, Rick, watching you just now with the Deutsche Bank, one would think you've been doing this all your life.
Well, what makes you think I haven't?
Oh, nothing. But when you first came to Casablanca, I thought...
You thought what?
What right do I have to think?
The man, Ugarte, joins Rick at his table.
May I? Too bad about those two German couriers, wasn't it?
They got a lucky break. Yesterday, they were just two German clerks. Today, they're honored dead.
You're a very cynical person, Ricky.
If you forgive me for saying so.
I forgive you.
Thank you. Will you have a drink with me, please?
No.
Oh, I forgot you never drink with any. I'll have another, please.
Yes, monsieur.
You despise me, don't you?
Well, if I gave you any thought, I probably would.
But why?
Oh, you object to the kind of business I do, huh?
But think of all those poor refugees who must rot in this place if I didn't help them. Well, that's not so bad. Through ways of my own, I provide them with exit visas.
For a price, Ugarte. For a price.
But think of all the poor devils who can't meet a nose price. Oh, I get it for them for half.
Is that so parasitic? I don't mind a parasite. I object to a cut-rate one.
Well, Rick, after tonight, I'll be through with the whole business, and I'm leaving, finally, this Casablanca.
Who's bribed for your visa? Renault or yourself?
Myself. Found myself much more reasonable. Look, Rick. You know what this is? Something that even you have never seen. Letters of transit signed by General Degon. Cannot be rescinded, not even questioned. One moment. Tonight I'll be selling those for more money than even I have ever dreamed of. And then, adio, Casablanca. You know, Rick, I have many a friend in Casablanca, but somehow, just because you despise me, you are the only one I trust. Will you keep these for me, please?
For how long?
Oh, perhaps an hour, perhaps a little longer.
I don't want them here overnight.
Don't be afraid of that. Please keep them for me. Thank you. I knew I could trust you.
Waiter, I'll be expecting some people. If anybody asks for me, I'll be right here.
Yes, monsieur.
Rick, I hope you're more impressed with me now. Huh? If you'll forgive me, I'll share my good luck with your roulette wheel.
Just a moment. Hey, I heard a rumor those two German couriers were carrying letters of transit.
Huh? Oh, huh. I've heard that rumor, too. Poor devils.
Yes, you're right, Ugarte. I am a little more impressed with you.
Rick stalks off. In the adjoining room...
Say, who's got trouble?
We got trouble.
How much trouble?
Too much trouble.
Well, now, don't you frown. Just knuckle down and knock on wood. Who's unhappy?
We're unhappy.
How unhappy?
Too unhappy.
Uh-oh, that won't do. When you are blue, just knock on wood.
Rick slips the envelope from Ugarte underneath the piano lid when the spotlight moves away momentarily. Once it's stowed, Rick joins a waiter at a nearby table and inspects a clipboard while casting furtive looks around. A tall, stout man wearing a white suit and matching fedora enters the establishment. He joins two local men at a table, gesturing politely to them as he sits down. He leans back in his chair and stares over at Rick, smiling genially.
Just how lucky.
Rick doesn't return the smile. As the music concludes, the man walks over to where Rick's leaning nonchalantly against the bar.
Hello, Rick.
Hello, Ferrari. How's business at the Blue Parrot?
Fine, but I'd like to buy your cafe.
It's not for sale.
Haven't heard my offer.
It's not for sale at any price.
What do you want for Sam?
I don't buy or sell human beings.
Too bad, that's Casablanca's leading commodity. Refugees alone, we can make a fortune. You'd work with me through the black market.
Suppose you run your business and let me run mine.
Suppose we ask Sam. Maybe he'd like to make a change.
Suppose we do.
My dear Rick, when will you realize that in this world today, isolationism is no longer a practical policy?
Sam Ferrari wants you to work for him at the Blue Parrot.
Oh, I like it fine, yeah.
He'll double what I pay you.
Yeah, but I ain't got time to spend the money I make here.
Sorry.
Boss is private stock.
Because he won, I love you.
Oh, shut up.
All right, all right. For you, I shut up.
Because he won, I love you.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Monsieur Rick, Monsieur Rick. Some Germans, boom, 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 gave his check. Is that all right?
The woman approaches Rick.
Where were you last night?
That's so long ago, I don't remember.
Will I see you tonight?
I never make plans that far ahead.
Give me another.
Sasha, she's had enough.
Don't listen to him, Sasha. I'll fill it up.
He won. I love you. But he pays me.
Rick, I'm sick and tired of letting you...
Sasha, call a cab.
Yes, boss.
Come on, we're going to get your coat.
Take your hands off me.
Well, you're going home. You've had a little too much to drink.
Hey, taxi.
What do you you think you are pushing me around? What a fool I was to fall for a man like you.
Go with her, Sasha, and be sure she gets home.
Yes, boss.
And come right back.
Yes, boss.
Sasha leads Yvonne to the taxi. Rick takes a cigarette from a small case, then notices Renaud sitting nearby.
Hello, Rick.
Hello, Louis.
How extravagant you are, throwing away women like that. Someday they may be scarce. You know, I think now I shall pay a call on Yvonne. Maybe get on the rebound, huh?
Well, when it comes to women, you're a true Democrat.
Tonelli and Cazelle are arguing again. They salute Rick and Renaud, then enter Rick's.
If he gets a word in, it'll be a major Italian victory.
They watch a plane taking off.
The plane to Lisbon.
Rick watches it go.
You would like to be on it?
Why? What's in Lisbon?
The Clipper to America. I've often speculated on why you don't return to America. Did you abscond with the church funds? Did you run off with the senator's wife? I like to think that you killed a man. It's the romantic in me.
It's a combination of all three.
And what in heaven's name brought you to Casablanca?
My health. I came to Casablanca for the waters.
The waters? What waters? We're in the desert.
I was misinformed.
Excuse me, Monsieur Rick, but a gentleman inside has won 20,000 francs, and the cashier would like some money.
I'll get it from the safe.
I'm so upset, Monsieur Rick. You know, I can't
understand. Forget it, Emile. Things like that happen all the time.
Now, I'm awfully sorry.
Rick and Renaud wander inside.
Rick, there's going to be some excitement here tonight. We're going to make an arrest in your cafe.
Again?
Oh, this is no ordinary arrest. A murderer, no less. If you're thinking of warning him, don't put yourself out. He cannot possibly escape.
I'd stick my neck out for nobody.
A wise foreign policy.
Vous voulez la Corse, la Tunisie, Nice. Qu'est-ce que vous avez fait pour les avoir?
I made this arrest earlier in the evening at the Blue Parrot. But out of my high regard for you, we're staging it here. It will amuse your customers.
Our entertainment's enough.
Rick, we'd have an important guest here tonight. Major Strasser, of the Third Reich, no less. We want him to be here when we make the arrest. A little demonstration of the efficiency of my administration.
I see. And what's Strasser doing here? He certainly didn't come all the way to Casablanca to witness a demonstration of your efficiency.
Perhaps not.
Here you are.
It shall not happen again.
That's all right. Louis, you've got something on your mind. Why don't you spill it?
How observant you are. As a matter of fact, I wanted to give you a word of advice.
Yeah? Yeah, Brandy?
Thank you. Rick, there are many exit visas sold in this cafe, but we know that you've never sold one. That is the reason we permit you to remain open.
Well, I thought it was because I let you win at roulette.
That is another reason. There is a man arrived in Casablanca on his way to America. He will offer a fortune to anyone who will furnish him with an exit visa.
Well, what's his name?
Victor Laszlo.
Victor Laszlo?
Rick, that is the first time I've ever seen you so impressed.
Well, he succeeded in impressing half the world.
It's my duty to see that he doesn't impress the other half. Rick, Laszlo must never reach America. He stays in Casablanca.
It'll be interesting to see how he manages.
Manages what?
His escape.
Oh, but I've just told you.
Stop it. Escaped from a concentration camp. The Nazis have been chasing him all over Europe.
This is the end of the chase.
20,000 francs says it isn't.
Is that a serious offer?
I just paid out 20. I'd like to get it back.
Make it 10. I'm only a poor, corrupt official.
Okay.
Done. No matter how clever he is, he still needs an exit visa. Or I should say two.
Why two?
He is traveling with a lady.
I'll take one.
I think not. I've seen the lady. And if he did not leave her in Marseille or in Iran, he certainly won't leave her in Casablanca.
Well, maybe he's not quite as romantic as you are.
It doesn't matter. There is no exit visa for him.
Louis, whatever gave you the impression that I might be interested in helping Laszlo escape?
Because, my dear Ricky, I suspect that under that cynical shell, you're at heart a sentimentalist. Oh, laugh if you will, but I happen to be familiar with the record. Let me point out just two items. In 1935, you ran guns to Ethiopia. In 1936, you fought in Spain on the loyalist side.
And got well paid for it on both occasions.
The winning side would have paid you much better.
Maybe. Uh-huh. Well, it seems that you're determined to keep Laszlo here.
I have my orders.
Oh, I see. Gestapo spank.
My dear Ricky, you overestimate the influence of the Gestapo. I don't interfere with them. And they don't interfere with me. In Casablanca, I am master of my fate. I am
Major
Captain...
Strasser is here, sir.
There you were saying...
Excuse me.
Renaud leaves Rick's office. Renaud approaches a waiter by the bar.
Oh,
See that Major Strasser gets a good table. One close to the ladies.
I have already given him the best, knowing he's German and would take it anyway.
Take him quietly. Two guards at every door.
Yes, sir.
Renault walks off.
Everything is ready, Frank.
Rick comes in as Renault approaches Strasser.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Captain.
Won't you join us?
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you here, Major.
Champagne and a tin of caviar.
May I recommend Veuve Clicquot 26, a good French wine?
Thank you.
Very well, sir.
Very interesting club.
Well, especially so tonight, Major. In a few minutes, you'll see the arrest of the man who murdered your couriers.
I expected no less, Captain.
Monsieur Ugarte.
La partie continue.
Yes. Will you please come with us?
Certainly. L'incident est clos, madame.
May I first please kiss my chips?
The two policemen escort Ugarte to the cashier point.
Very lucky, huh? 2,000, please. 2,000.
He notes two guards coming in a door.
Thank you.
He walks to the door, then dashes past the guards and pulls the door shut. When they open it, he fires a warning shot.
Rick! Rick, help me!
Be a fool, you can't get away.
But Rick, hide me! Do something! You must help me, Rick! Do something!
Come on.
Rick! Rick!
Excellent, Captain.
When they come to get me, Rick, I hope you'll be more of a help.
I'd stick my neck out for nobody. I'm sorry there was a disturbance, folks, but it's all over now. Everything's all right. Just sit down and have a good time. Enjoy yourselves, all right, Sam?
Okay.
Rick's walking past Strasser's table.
Rick? Rick, this is Major Heinrich Strasser of the Third Reich.
How do you do, Mr. Rick?
Oh, how do you do?
And you already know Herr Heinz of the Third Reich?
Please join us, Mr. Rick.
He takes a seat at the table.
We are very honored tonight, Rick. Major Strasser is one of the reasons the Third Reich enjoys the reputation it has today.
You repeat Third Reich as though you expected there to be others.
Well, personally, Major, I will take what comes.
Do you mind if I ask you a few questions? Unofficially, of course.
Make it official, if you like.
What is your nationality?
I'm a drunkard.
And that makes Rick a citizen of the world.
I was born in New York City, if that'll help you any.
I understand that you came here from Paris at the time of the occupation.
There seems to be no secret about that.
Are you one of those people who cannot imagine the Germans and their beloved Paris?
Not particularly my beloved Paris.
Can you imagine us in London?
When you get there, ask me.
Diplomatist.
How about New York?
Well, there are certain sections of New York, Major, that I wouldn't advise you to try to invade.
Who do you think will win the war?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Rick is completely neutral about everything, and that takes in the field of women, too.
You are not always so carefully neutral. We have a complete dossier on you. Richard Blaine, American, age 37, cannot return to his country. The reason is a little vague. We also know what you did in Paris, Mr. Blaine, and also we know why you left Paris. Don't worry, we are not going to broadcast it.
Oh, my eye's really brown.
You will forgive my curiosity, Mr. Blaine. The point is, an enemy of the Reich has come to Casablanca, and we are checking up on anybody who can be of any help to us.
Well, my interest in whether Victor Laszlo stays or goes is purely a sporting one.
In this case, you have no sympathy for the fox, huh?
Not particularly. I understand the point of view of the hound, too.
Victor Laszlo published the foulest lies in the Prague newspapers until the very day we marched in, and even after that, he continued to print scandal sheets in his cellar.
Of course, one must admit he has great courage.
I admit he is very clever. Three times he slipped through our fingers. In Paris, he continued his activities. We intend not to let it happen again.
Hey, excuse me, gentlemen. Your business is politics. Mine is running a saloon.
Good evening, Mr. Blaine.
You see, Major, you have nothing to worry about, Rick.
Perhaps.
A man and a woman.
Yes, monsieur. I reserve the table. Victor Laszlo.
Yes, monsieur Laszlo. Right this way.
The maitre d' leads Laszlo and his companion across the saloon past Sam. He eyes them with an expression of concern and regret. The woman gives him a brief, nervous glance. The couple's passage through the room has also caught the attention of a man who's sitting at the bar. Strasser and Renault notice the couple when they're seated at a nearby table.
Two Cointreaus, please.
Monsieur.
I saw no one of who got this description.
Victor, I feel somehow we shouldn't stay here.
If you would walk out so soon, it would only call attention to us. Perhaps Ugarte's in some other part of the cafe.
Excuse me, but you look like a couple who are on their way to America.
Well?
You'll find a market there for this ring. I'm forced to sell it at a great sacrifice.
Thank you, but I hardly think.
Then perhaps for the lady, the ring is quite unique.
Oh, yes, I'm very interested.
Good.
What is your name?
Berger, Norwegian, and at your service, sir.
Victor.
I'll meet you in a few minutes at the bar. No, I don't think we want to buy the ring, but thank you for showing it to us.
Such a bargain. But that is your decision?
I'm sorry it is.
Monsieur Laszlo, is it not?
Yes.
I am Captain Renault, Prefect of Police.
Yes, what is it you want?
Merely to welcome you to Casablanca and to wish you a pleasant stay. It isn't often we have so distinguished a visitor.
Thank you. I hope you'll forgive me, Captain. The present French administration hasn't always been so cordial.
May I present Miss Ilzerant? I was informed you were the most beautiful woman ever to visit Casablanca. That was a gross understatement.
You're very kind.
Won't you join us?
If you will permit me. Oh, no, Emil, please, a bottle of your best champagne and put it on my bill.
Very well, sir.
Captain, please.
Oh, please, monsieur, it is a little game we play. They put it on the bill, I tear up the bill. It is very convenient.
Captain, the boy was playing the piano. Somewhere I've seen him.
Sam?
Yes.
He came from Paris with Rick.
Rick, who's he?
Mademoiselle, you're in Rick's. And Rick is,
Is what?
Well, mademoiselle, he's the kind of man that... Well, if I were a woman and I were not around, I should be in love with Rick. But what a fool I am, talking to a beautiful woman about another man. Excuse me. Ah, Major. Mademoiselle Lund and Monsieur Leslie, may I present Major Heinrich Strasser?
How do you do? This is a pleasure I have long looked forward to.
I'm sure you'll excuse me if I'm not gracious. But you see, Major Strasser, I'm a Czechoslovakian.
You were a Czechoslovakian. Now you are a subject of the German Reich.
I've never accepted that privilege, and I'm now on French soil.
I should like to discuss some matters arising from your presence on French soil.
This is hardly the time or the place.
Then we shall state another time and another place tomorrow at 10 in the prefect's office. Will, mademoiselle.
Captain Renault, I'm under your authority. Is it your order that we come to your office?
Let us say it is my request. That is a much more pleasant word.
Very well.
Mademoiselle?
Mademoiselle.
A very clever tactical retreat, Major.
This time they really mean to stop me.
Victor, I'm afraid for you.
We've been in difficult places before, haven't we?
A woman strums at her guitar. The singer smiles graciously as she delicately strums at the strings and changes chord effortlessly. Laszlo sitting with Ilse at his table, smoking a cigarette, when he realizes Strasser and Renault are watching him. Berger's sitting at the bar.
I must find out what Berger knows.
Be careful.
I will, don't worry.
Ilse's left on her own. She returns her attention to the singer, but looks tense. Sam catches her eye. Ilse stares at him, as if asking a silent question. He shakes his head almost imperceptibly.
Monsieur Berger, the ring, could I see it again?
Yes.
Monsieur?
A champagne cocktail, please.
I recognize you from the news photographs, Monsieur Lasso.
In the concentration camp, one is apt to lose a little weight.
We read 5 times that you were killed in 5 different places.
Yes, you see, it was true every single time. Thank heaven I found you, Berger. I'm looking for a man by the name of Ugarte. He's supposed to help me.
Ugarte cannot even help himself, monsieur. He's under arrest for murder. He was arrested here tonight.
I see.
But we who are still free will do all we can. They're organized, monsieur, underground like everywhere else. Tomorrow night there's a meeting at the Cavern du Roi. If you will come...
They fall silent as the waiter returns with Laszlo's drink. Ilse turns to the waiter, who's serving at her table.
Could you ask the piano player to come over here, please?
Very well, mademoiselle.
How's the jewelry business, Berger?
Not so good. May I have my check, please?
Too bad you weren't here earlier, Monsieur Laszlo. We had quite a bit of excitement this evening, didn't we, Berger?
Yes. Excuse me, gentlemen.
And my bill.
No. 2 champagne cocktails.
please.
Yes.
Hello, Sam.
Hello, Miss Elsa. I never expect to see you again.
It's been a long time.
Yes, ma'am. A lot of water under the bridge.
Some of the old songs, Sam.
Yes, ma'am.
Ilse rests her arm on the table and gives Sam a sidelong glance with her big, dark eyes.
Where is Rick?
I don't know. I ain't seen him all night.
When will he be back?
Not tonight no more. He ain't coming. He went home.
Does he always leave so early?
Oh, he never. Well, he's got a girl up to the Blue Parrot. He goes up there all the time.
You used to be a much better liar, Sam.
Leave him alone, Miss Elsa. You bad luck to him.
Play it once, Sam. For all time's sake.
I don't know what you mean, Miss Elsa.
Play it, Sam. Play as time goes by.
Oh, I can't remember it, Miss Elsa. I'm a little rusty on it.
I'll hum it for you. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Sing it, Sam.
You must remember this. A kiss is just a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by.
Ilse's lost in a private reverie.
And when two lovers woo, they still say I love you. On that you can rely.
Rick strides in from the other room and makes a beeline for Sam.
Time goes by.
Sam, I thought I told you never to play.
He notices Ilse, who has tears in her eyes. Sam makes a sharp exit, then Reno and Laszlo join the pair.
Well, you were asking about Rick, and here he is. Mademoiselle, may I present...
Hello, Rick.
Oh, you've already met Rick, mademoiselle. Well, then perhaps you also...
This is Mr. Laszlo.
How do you do? How do you do? Well, here's a great deal about Rick in Casablanca, and about Victor Laszlo everywhere. Won't you join us for a drink?
Oh, no, Rick, never.
Thanks, I will.
Well, a precedent is being broken. Emil...
This is a very interesting cafe. I congratulate you. I congratulate you. What for? Your work? Thank you. I try. We all try. You succeed.
I can't get over you two. She was asking about you earlier, Rick, in a way that made me extremely jealous.
I wasn't sure you were the same. Let's see, the last time we met...
was La Belle Aurore.
How nice. You remembered. But, of course, that was the day the Germans marched into Paris.
Not an easy day to forget.
No.
I remember every detail. The Germans wore gray, you wore blue.
Yes, I put that dress away. When the Germans march out, I'll wear it again.
Ricky, you're becoming quite human. I suppose we have to thank you for that, mademoiselle.
Ilse, I don't wish to be the one to say it, but it's late.
So it is. And we have a curfew here in Casablanca. It would never do for the chief of police to be found drinking after hours and have to fine himself.
I hope you didn't overstay our welcome. Not at all.
Your check, sir.
Oh, let me,
my
please.
Party. Another president gone. This has been a very interesting evening. I'll call you a cab. Gasoline rationing, time of night.
He'll come again. Anytime.
You say goodnight to Sam for me.
I will.
There's still nobody in the world who can play as time goes by like Sam.
He hasn't played it in a long time.
Good night.
Rick watches them go with a look of regret.
Very puzzling fellow, this Rick. What sort is he?
Oh, I really can't say, though. I saw him quite often in Paris.
Tomorrow at 10 at the prefect's office.
We'll be there.
Good night.
Ilse and Laszlo get into a taxi that's waiting outside Rick's. Reno exhales a cloud of cigarette smoke into the night air as he watches them go. The last of the cafe's patrons head off into the night, and the neon signs switched off. Rick's sitting in the bar alone. He has a pained expression on his face as he pours himself a stiff drink and takes a swig. Sam walks in.
Boss?
Rick doesn't acknowledge Sam.
Boss?
Yeah?
Boss, ain't you going to bed?
Not right now.
Ain't you planning on going to bed in the near future?
No.
You ever going to bed?
No.
Well, I ain't sleepy either.
Good, then have a drink.
No, not me, boss.
Don't have a drink.
Boss, let's get out of here.
No, sir. I'm waiting for a lady.
Please, boss, let's go. Ain't nothing but trouble for you here.
Coming back? I know she's coming back.
We'll take the car and drive all night. We'll get drunk. We'll go fishing and stay away until she's gone.
Shut up and go home, will you?
No, sir. I'm staying right here.
Sam pushes his piano closer to Rick.
I grab Bugatti, then she walks in. Well, that's the way it goes. One in, one out. Sam.
Yes, boss.
It's December 1941 in Casablanca. What time is it in New York?
What? My watch stopped.
I bet they're asleep in New York. I bet they're asleep all over America.
Rick pounds the table in frustration.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
He rubs his forehead with his hand.
What's that you're playing?
Oh, just a little something of my own.
Oh, stop it. You know what I want to hear.
No, I don't.
You played it for her, you play it for me.
Well, I don't think I can remember.
If she can stand it, I can. Play it.
Yes, boss.
Sam has his back to his boss as he plays the piano in the dimly lit bar. Rick stares into his drink, then looks up and puffs on his cigarette in a languid manner. The moonlight filtering in from outside highlights his pained countenance and the tears in his eyes. In his mind's eye, he thinks back to Paris and driving past the Arc de Triomphe with Ilse by his side. She smiles gaily at him as the wind ruffles through her wavy hair. Now they're driving through the countryside. They share a smile. Then Rick puts his arm around Ilse and she snuggles up next to him, resting her head on his shoulder. They're enjoying a boat ride down the River Seine. Rick buys a bag of sweets and throws one to Ilse. She laughs merrily as she catches it. Ilse's now in a house, arranging flowers in a vase. She joins Rick on the sofa as he pours them both a drink.
Who are you really, and what were you before? What did you do and what did you think, huh?
We said no questions.
He raises his glass in a toast.
Here's looking at you, kid.
Rick and Ilse are dancing together in a ballroom. Ilse's wearing a patterned dress, while Rick's decked out in a tuxedo. Hanging from the ceiling is a mirror ball, which sends sparkles of light glittering round the room. Rick stares at Ilse adoringly as they dance. Back at home.
Frank, for your thoughts.
In America, they'd bring only a penny. I guess that's about all they're worth.
Well, I'm willing to be overcharged. Tell me.
Well, I was wondering.
Yes.
Why I'm so lucky, why I should find you waiting for me to come along.
Why, there is no other man in my life.
Uh-huh.
That's easy. There was. He's dead.
I'm sorry for asking. I forgot we said no questions.
Well, only one answer can take care of all our questions.
A sign on a bomb-damaged building reads, Paris. Troops, horses, and German tanks make their way through the French countryside, while planes occupy the airspace above. Rick and Ilse are sitting outside a cafe in Paris when they're handed a newspaper by one of the men giving them out on the city's streets. They start to read it, but their attention soon diverted to the loudspeaker announcement.
Stuttgart, Allemagne. Français, Parisien.
Ilse's expression is grave with concern.
Les Allemands seront demain dans la capitale.
There's nothing can stop them now. Wednesday, Thursday at the latest, they'll be in Paris.
Richard, they'll find out your record. It won't be safe for you here.
I'm on their blacklist already. Their roll of honor. Moonlight
and love songs. Rick's standing at the counter of an establishment called La Belle Aurore. He lights a cigarette. Woman needs. He gathers up a bottle and three glasses, then joins Ilse, who's standing by a piano, enraptured in the music. It's still the same old story. As Sam plays on, Ilse steals a furtive glance at Rick, who's pouring them all a glass of champagne. She looks down with a sense of disquiet, and he glances at her, noticing her subdued manner.
Ori wants us to finish this bottle and then three more. Says he'll water his garden with champagne before he'll let the Germans drink it.
This sort of takes the sting out of being occupied, doesn't it, Mr. Richard?
You said it. He's looking at you, kid.
Ilse's mood lightens a little when Sam raises his glass to her.
Franzosen, Einwohner von Paris. Franzosen, Einwohner von Paris. Hört aufmerksam zu.
Outside, the streets are full of people listening to the latest announcement. Rick and Ilse head for the window and look out.
German's a little rusty.
It's the Gestapo. They say they expect to be in Paris tomorrow. They're telling us how to act when they come marching in. The whole world crumbling, we picked this time to fall in love.
Yeah, it's pretty bad timing. Where were you, say, 10 years ago?
10 years ago? Let's see. Yes, I was having a brace put on my teeth. Where were you?
Looking for a job.
They surrender to a kiss. Then Ilse pulls away.
Was that can on fire? Or is it my heart pounding?
Well, it's a new German 77, and judging by the sound, only about 35 miles away. I'm getting closer every minute. Here, drink up. We'll never finish the other three.
The Germans will be here pretty soon now, and they'll come looking for you. And don't forget, there's a price on your head.
I left a note in my apartment. They'll know where to find me.
It's strange. I know so very little about you.
I know very little about you. Just the fact that you had your teeth straightened.
But be serious, darling. You are in danger and you must leave Paris.
No. We must leave.
Yes, of course, we.
Now, the train for Marseille leaves at 5 o'clock. I'll pick you up at your hotel at 4:30.
No, not at my hotel. I have things to do in the city before I leave. I'll meet you at the station.
All right. At 4:45. Say, why don't we get married in Marseille?
That's too far ahead to plan.
Yes, I guess it is a little too far ahead. Well, let's see. What about the engineer? Why can't he marry us on the train?
Darling.
Oh, why not? The captain on the ship can. It doesn't seem fair that... Hey, what's wrong, kid?
She turns back to him and forces a smile.
I love you so much. And I hate this war so much. Oh, it's a crazy world. Anything can happen. If you shouldn't get away. I mean, if something should keep us apart, wherever they put you and wherever I'll be, I want you to know that.
He silences her with a loving kiss.
Kiss me. Kiss me as if it were the last time.
She knocks a glass over. Passengers shuffle through a gate at a railway station, past a clock that reads 5 to 5. Wearing a tan trench coat and hat, To protect himself from the rain, Rick stops underneath the clock and sets down his bag. Sam's carrying two cases as he hurries through the crowd towards Rick.
Where is she? Have you seen her?
No, Mr. Richard, I can't find her. She checked out of the hotel, but this note came just after you left.
The note reads, "Richard, I cannot go with you or ever see you again. You must not ask why. Just believe that I love you so, my darling, and God bless you, Ilza."
That's the last call, Mr. Richard. Do you hear me? Come on, Mr. Richard, let's get out of here. Come on, Mr. Richard, come on.
They board the train just in time. Resting his hand on Rick's shoulder in a consoling gesture, Sam watches as his friend screws up the note from Ilza and throws it away. Rick accidentally knocks his drink over. Sam gets up from the piano and sets his friend's glass upright again. Rick reaches for the bottle and is about to pour himself another drink when the door opens. Ilza stands there, wearing a long white fitted coat and headscarf. Rick frowns in consternation. Ilza approaches the table.
Rick, I have to talk to you.
I saved my first drink to have with you. Here.
No, Rick, not tonight.
Especially tonight. Yes. Why did you have to come to Casablanca? There are other places.
I wouldn't have come if I'd known that you were here. Believe me, Rick, it's true. I didn't know.
It's funny about your voice, how it hasn't changed. I can still hear it. Richard, dear, I'll go with you any place. We'll get on a train together and never stop.
Don't, Rick. I can understand how you feel.
You understand how I feel. How long was it we had, honey?
I didn't count the days.
Well, I did. Every one of them. Mostly I remember the last one. A wild finish, a guy standing on a station platform in the rain with a comical look on his face because his insides had been kicked out.
Can I tell you a story, Rick?
You got a wild finish?
I don't know the finish yet.
Well, go on, tell it. Maybe one will come to you as you go along.
It's about a girl who had just come to Paris from her home in Oslo. At the house of some friends, she met a man about whom she had heard her whole life, a very great and courageous man. He opened up for her a whole beautiful world full of knowledge and thoughts and ideals. Everything she knew or ever became was because of him. And she looked up to him and worshipped him with a feeling she supposed was love.
Yes, it's very pretty. I heard a story once. As a matter of fact, I've heard a lot of stories in my time. They went along with the sound of a tinny piano playing in the parlor downstairs. Mister, I met a man once when I was a kid. It always began. Well, I guess neither one of our stories is very funny. Tell me, who was it you left me for? Was it Laszlo, or were there others in between? Or aren't you the kind that tells?
Ilse's stung by his words and stares at him with tear-filled dark eyes. Standing up abruptly, she then heads swiftly for the door and so misses the moment when Rick buries his head in his hands.
I strongly suspect that Ugarte left the letters of transit with Mr. Blaine. I would suggest you search the cafe immediately and thoroughly.
If Rick has the letters, he's much too smart to let you find them there.
You give him credit for too much cleverness. My impression was that he's just another blundering American.
We mustn't underestimate American blundering. I was with them when they blundered into Berlin in 1918.
As to Laszlo, we want him watched 24 hours a day.
It may interest you to know that at this very moment he's on his way here.
Well, we'll not move.
At the visa office.
Yes, there's nothing we can do.
I'm delighted to see you both. Did you have a good night's rest?
I slept very well.
That's strange. Nobody is supposed to sleep well in Casablanca.
May we proceed to the business?
With pleasure. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
Very well, alas, though we will not mince words. You are an escaped prisoner of the Reich. So far, you have been fortunate enough in eluding us. You have reached Casablanca. It is my duty to see that you stay in Casablanca.
Whether or not you will succeed is, of course, problematic.
Not at all. Captain Renault's signature is necessary on every exit visa. Captain, would you think it is possible that Laszlo will receive a visa?
I'm afraid not. My regrets, monsieur.
Well, perhaps I shall like it in Casablanca.
And mademoiselle?
You needn't be concerned about me.
Is it all you wish to tell us?
Don't be in such a hurry. You have all the time in the world. You may be in Casablanca indefinitely. Or you may leave for Lisbon tomorrow on one condition.
And that is?
You know the leader of the underground movement in Paris, in Prague, in Brussels, in Amsterdam, in Oslo, in Belgrade, in Athens.
Even Berlin?
Yes, even in Berlin. If you will furnish me with their names and their exact whereabouts, you will have your visa in the morning.
And the honor of having served the Third Reich.
I was in a German concentration camp for a year. That's honor enough for a lifetime.
You will give us the names?
If I didn't give them to you in a concentration camp, where you had more persuasive methods at your disposal, I certainly won't give them to you now. And what if you track down these men and kill them? What if you murdered all of us? From every corner of Europe, hundreds, thousands would rise to take our places. Even Nazis can't kill that fast.
Well, Laszlo, you have a reputation for eloquence which I can now understand, but in one respect you are mistaken. You said the enemies of the Reich could all be replaced, but there's one exception. No one could take your place in the event anything unfortunate should occur to you while you were trying to escape.
You won't dare to interfere with me here. This is still unoccupied France. Any violation of neutrality would reflect on Captain Renault.
Monsieur, insofar as it is in my power.
Thank you.
By the way, monsieur, last night you evinced an interest in Signor Ugarte.
Yes?
I believe you have a message for him.
Nothing important, but may I speak to him now?
You would find the conversation a trifle one-sided. Signor Ugarte is dead.
Laszlo looks to Renault, who confirms with a slight nod.
I'm making out the report now. We haven't quite decided whether he committed suicide or died trying to escape.
Are you quite finished with us?
For the time being.
Good day.
Ilse and Rick leave Renault's office.
Undoubtedly, their next step will be to the black market.
Excuse me, Captain. Another visa problem has come up.
Show her in.
Yes.
A refugee is showing a passport to a local man.
Sorry, monsieur. We were able to handle the police. This is a job for Signor Ferrari.
Ferrari?
It can be most helpful to know, Signor Ferrari. He pretty has a monopoly on the black market here. You will find him over there at the Blue Parrot.
Thanks.
Rick walks inside the Blue Parrot, just as Ferrari comes out of a small room at the back, in conversation with the man and woman who were refused help at the visa office.
Yeah, don't be too downhearted. Perhaps you can come to terms with Captain Renault.
Thank you very much, Signor.
Hello, Ferrari.
Good morning, Rick.
I see the bus is in. I'll take my shipment with me.
No hurry, I'll have it sent over. Have a drink with me.
I'll have a drink in the morning, and every time you send my shipment over, it's always just a little bit short.
Carrying charges, my boy, carrying charges. Here, sit down. There's something I want to talk over with you, anyhow. The bourbon. The news about Ugarte upsets me very much.
You're a fat hypocrite. You don't feel any sorrier for Ugarte than I do.
Of course not. What upsets me is the fact that Ugarte is dead. No one knows where those letters of transit are.
Practically no one.
If I could lay my hands on those letters, I could make a fortune.
So could I, and I'm a poor businessman.
I have a proposition for whoever has those letters. I'll handle the entire transaction. Get rid of the letters, take all the risk for a small percentage.
And the carrying charges?
Naturally, there'll be a few incidental expenses. That's the proposition I have for whoever has those letters.
I'll tell him when he comes in.
Rick, I'll put my cards on the table. I think you know where those letters are.
You're in good company. Renault and Strasser probably think so, too.
He spots Laszlo and Ilse outside in the market.
That's why I came over here, to give them a chance to ransack my place.
Rick, don't be a fool. Take me into your confidence. You need a partner.
Excuse me, I'll be getting back.
Morning.
Senor Ferrari's the fat gent at the table.
Rick joins Ilse at the market stall.
You will not find a treasure like this in all Morocco, mademoiselle. Only 700 francs.
You're being cheated.
Doesn't matter, thank you.
Ah, the lady's a friend of Rick's. For friends of Rick's, we have a small discount. Did I say 700 francs? You can have it for 200.
I'm sorry, I was in no condition to receive you when you called on me last night.
Doesn't matter.
Now, for special friends of Rick's, we have a special discount of 100 francs.
The story had me a little confused. Maybe it was the bourbon.
I have some tablecloths, some napkins.
Thank you, I'm really not interested.
Please, 1 minute, please.
Why did you come back? To tell me why you ran out on me at the railway station?
Yes.
Well, you can tell me now. I'm reasonably sober.
I don't think I will, Rick.
Why not? After all, I got stuck with a railway ticket. I think I'm entitled to know.
Last night, I saw what has happened to you. The Rick I knew in Paris, I could tell him he'd understand. But the one who looked at me with such hatred... I'll be leaving Casablanca soon and we'll never see each other again. We knew very little about each other when we were in love in Paris. If we leave it that way, maybe we'll remember those days, not Casablanca. Not last night.
Did you run out on me because you couldn't take it, because you knew what it would be like? Hiding from the police, running away all the time?
You can believe that if you want to.
Well, I'm not running away anymore. I'm settled now. Above a saloon, it's true, but a walk up a flight. I'll be expecting you. All the same, someday you'll lie to Laszlo. You'll be there.
No, Rick. No, you see, Victor Laszlo is my husband. And was, even when I knew you in Paris.
Rick's shocked.
I was just telling Monsieur Laszlo that unfortunately I'm not able to help him.
Oh. You see, my dear, the word has gone around.
As leader of all illegal activities in Casablanca, I'm an influential and respected man. It would not be worth my life to do anything for Monsieur Laszlo. You, however, are a different matter.
Signor Ferrari thinks it might just be possible to get the next visa for you.
You mean for me to go on alone?
And only alone.
I'll stay here and keep on trying. I'm sure in a little while...
Might as well be frank, monsieur. It would take a miracle to get you out of Casablanca, and the Germans have outlawed miracles.
We are only interested in 2 visas, senor.
Please, Elsa, don't be hasty.
No, Victor, no.
You two will want to discuss this. Excuse me, I'll be at the bar.
Ferrari walks off.
No, Ilse, I won't let you stay here. You must get to America. Believe me, somehow I'll get out and join you.
Yeah. But, Victor, if the situation were different, if I had to stay and there were only visa for one, would you take it?
Yes, I would.
Yes, I see. When I had trouble getting out of Lille, why didn't you leave me there? And when I was sick in Marseille and held you up for 2 weeks and you were in danger every minute of the time, why didn't you leave me then?
I meant to, but something always held me up. I love you very much, Ilse.
Your secret will be safe with me. Ferrari's waiting for our answer.
Not more than 50 francs, though.
The waiter nods and walks off.
We've decided, Signor Ferrari. For the present, we'll go on looking for 2 exit visas. Thank you very much.
Well, good luck, but be careful. You know that you're being shadowed.
Of course, it becomes an instinct.
I observe that you, in one respect, are a very fortunate man, monsieur. I move to make one more suggestion. Why, I do not know. Because it cannot possibly profit me. But have you heard about Signor Gatti and the letters of transit?
Yes, something.
Those letters were not found on Ugarte when they arrested him.
You know where they are?
Not for sure, monsieur. But I'll venture to guess that Ugarte left those letters with Monsieur Rick.
Rick?
He's a difficult customer, that Rick. One never knows what he'll do or why. But it is worth a chance.
Thank you very much. Good day.
Bye. Thank you for your coffee, senor. I shall miss that when we leave Casablanca.
It's gracious of you to share it with me. Good day, monsieur. Monsieur?
Good day.
Watching them walk away, Ferrari puffs on his cigar.
Here to you, sir.
Good luck.
I better be going.
My check, please.
I have to warn you, sir. I beseech you. This is a dangerous place full of vultures. Vultures everywhere. Thanks for everything.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir. It has been a pleasure to meet you. I'm sorry.
Carl immediately pats his own jacket down, while the pickpocket he's just bumped into saunters on. Strasser enters Rick's with his men. Carl bustles up to Rick's table just as they walk past.
Monsieur Rick, you are getting to be your best customer.
Well, drinking. I'm very pleased with you. Now you're beginning to live like a Frenchman.
There's some going over. Your man gave my place this afternoon. We just barely got cleaned up in time to open.
Well, I told Strasser you wouldn't find the letters here, but I told my men to be especially destructive. You know how that impresses Germans? Rick, have you got those letters of transit?
Louis, are you pro-Vichy or free French?
Serves me right for asking a direct question. The subject is closed.
Well, it looks like you're a little late.
Huh?
Yvonne walks past in the company of a Nazi officer.
So Yvonne's gone over to the enemy.
Who knows? In her own way, she may constitute an entire second front. Well, I think it's time for me to flatter Major Strasser a little. I'll see you later, Rick.
Sasha!
French 75.
Put up the whole row then, Sasha. Starting here and ending here.
We will begin with two.
Écoutez, vous êtes pas française, vous d'aller avec les Boches comme ça?
Quand vous mêlez-vous?
Yvonne's Nazi companion steps forward to challenge the French officer.
What did you say?
Would you kindly repeat it?
What I said is none of your business.
I will make it my business.
Rick steps into the fray and separates the pair.
I don't like disturbances in my place. Either lay off politics or get out.
Strasser to Renault.
You see, Captain? The situation is not as much under control as you believe.
My dear Major, we are trying to cooperate with your government, but we cannot regulate the feelings of our people.
Captain, are you entirely certain which side you're on?
I have no conviction, if that's what you mean. I blow with the wind, and the prevailing wind happens to be from Vichy.
And if it should change?
Well, surely the Reich doesn't admit that possibility.
We are concerned about more than Casablanca. We know that every French province in Africa is honeycombed with traitors, waiting for their chance, waiting perhaps for a leader.
A leader? Like Laszlo?
Mm-hmm. I have been thinking. It is too dangerous if you let him go. It may be too dangerous if you let him stay.
I see what you mean.
Ich bin schon hier, Herr Leuchttag. Ich habe dir den feinsten Cognac gebracht. Trinken nur die Angestellten.
Thank you, Karl.
Für Frau Leuchttag.
Thank you, Karl.
Und für Herrn Leuchttag.
Karl, sit down. Have a brandy with us.
To celebrate our leaving for America tomorrow.
Oh, thank you very much. I thought you would ask me, so I brought the good brandy. And the third glass.
At last, the days came.
Well, Reichstag and I are speaking nothing but English now.
So we should feel at home when we get to America.
Very nice idea.
To America.
To America.
To America.
They down their brandies.
Liebchen, sweetness out. What watch?
10 watts.
Such much?
You will get along beautifully in America.
How's Lady Luck treating you?
Oh, too bad. We'll find him over there.
The lady from the visa office, Anina, approaches Rick.
Monsieur Rick?
Yes?
Could I speak to you for just a moment, please?
How'd you get in here? You're underage.
I came with Captain Reno.
I should have known.
My husband is with me, too.
He is? Well, Captain Reno's getting broad-minded. Sit down.
Thank you.
You have a drink? No, of course not. Do you mind if I do?
No. Monsieur Rick, what kind of a man is Captain Reno?
Oh, he's just like any other man, only more so.
No, I mean, is he trustworthy? Is his word?
Oh, just a minute. Who told you to ask me that?
He did. Captain Reno did.
I thought so. Where's your husband?
At the roulette table, trying to win enough for our exit visas. Oh, of course, he's losing.
How long have you been married?
8 weeks. We come from Bulgaria. Well, things are very bad there, monsieur. The devil has the people by the throat. So, Jan and I, we did not want our children to grow up in such a country.
And so you decided to go to America?
Yes, but we have not much money, and traveling is so expensive and difficult. It was much more than we thought to get here. And then Captain Renault sees us. And he is so kind. He wants to help us.
Yes, I'll bet.
He tells me he can give us an exit visa. But we have no money.
Does he know that?
Oh, yes.
And he's still willing to give you a visa?
Yes, monsieur.
And you want to know?
Will he keep his word?
He always has.
Oh. Monsieur, you are a man. If someone loved you very much, so that your happiness was the only thing that she wanted in the world, she did a bad thing to make certain of it. Could you forgive her?
Nobody ever loved me that much.
And he never knew. And the girl kept this bad thing locked in her heart. That would be all right, wouldn't it?
Do you want my advice?
Oh, yes, please.
Go back to Bulgaria.
Oh, but if you knew what it means to us to leave Europe, to get to America. Oh, but if Jan should find out. He is such a boy. In many ways, I am so much older than he is.
Yes, well, everybody in Casablanca has problems. Yours may work out. You'll excuse me.
Thank you, monsieur.
Rick takes a clipboard from the maitre d's hands, just as Laszlo and Ilse walk in.
Good evening. Good evening. You see, here we are again.
I take that as a great compliment to Sam. I suppose he means to you Paris of, well, happier days.
He does. Could we have a table close to him?
As far away from Major Strasser as possible.
Well, the geography may be a little difficult to arrange. Paul, table 30.
Yes, sir. Right this way, if you please.
I'll have Sam play As Time Goes By. I believe that's your favorite tune.
Thank you.
Rick leans and whispers in Sam's ear. To a waiter.
To cognac, please.
Cognac.
Laszlo takes his cigarette case out of his jacket pocket.
Marcons les jeux, mesdames et messieurs. Les jeux sont faits. La partie continue.
Rick walks into the other room, where a croupier is running roulette, and spots Anina's husband, Jan, sitting at the other side of the table. He moves closer to him.
Do you wish to place another bet, sir?
No, I guess not.
Have you tried 22 tonight? I said 22.
Jan stakes his last pile of chips on number 22, which is where the ball lands. Anina smiles. Renault looks over from a nearby table and frowns.
Leave it there.
Jan does as he's told and places all chips on 22. Carl's watching, and he smiles in anticipation as he watches the ball land on 22 again.
Cash it in and don't come back.
Rien ne va plus, monsieur. Fini.
Are you sure this place is honest?
Honest as the day is long.
To the croupier.
Rien ne va plus.
How are we doing tonight?
Well, a couple of thousand less than I thought there would be.
Anina approaches Rick.
Monsieur Rick.
He grabs her arms when she hugs him.
Just a lucky guy.
Monsieur Rick, may I get you a cup of coffee?
No thanks, Carl.
Monsieur Rick.
Rien ne va plus. Rien ne va plus, madame. Rien ne va plus, madame.
Captain Renault, may I...
Not here, please. Come to my office in the morning. We'll do everything business-like.
We'll be there at 6.
I'll be there at 10. I'm very happy for both of you. Still, it's very strange that you won. Well, maybe not so strange. I'll see you in the morning.
Thank you so much, Captain Reno.
No.
Carl whispers to Sasha, who then steps round the bar and grabs Rick.
Ross, you've done a beautiful thing.
Oh, are you crazy, Russian?
Carl pulls Rick's drink away, then catches his boss's eye and returns it. Reno enters the establishment.
As I suspected, you're a rank sentimentalist.
Yeah, why?
Why do you interfere with my little romances?
Put it down as a gesture to love.
Well, I forgive you this time. But I'll be in tomorrow night with a breathtaking blonde. And it'll make me very happy if she loses. Mm-hmm.
Monsieur Blaine, I wonder if I could talk to you.
Go ahead.
Well, isn't there some other place? It's rather confidential, what I have to say.
In my office.
Right.
You must know it's very important I get out of Casablanca. It's my privilege to be one of the leaders of a great movement. You know what I've been doing. You know what it means to the work, to the lives of thousands and thousands of people. I'll be free to reach America and continue my work.
I'm not interested in politics. The problems of the world are not in my department. I'm a saloon keeper.
My friends in the underground tell me that you've quite a record. You ran guns to Ethiopia. You fought against the fascists in Spain.
What of it?
Isn't it strange that you always happen to be fighting on the side of the underdog?
Yes, and I found that a very expensive hobby, too, but then I never was much of a businessman.
Are you enough of a businessman to appreciate an offer of 100,000 francs?
I appreciate it, but I don't accept it.
I'll raise it to 200,000.
My friend, you could make it 1,000,000 francs or 3. My answer would still be the same.
There must be some reason why you won't let me have them.
There is. I suggest that you ask your wife.
I beg your pardon?
I said, ask your wife.
My wife?
Yes.
Rick's attention turns to the strains of a song emanating from the saloon. He returns next door to find a Nazi officer playing the piano and his colleagues gathered round him, singing heartily. Renault's leaning on the bar. He glances up at the flight of stone steps leading up to Rick's office, where Laszlo and Rick are standing in grim silence, watching the disturbing tableau before them. Ilse watches from her table as Laszlo heads for the band, who are sitting idle.
Play La Marseillaise. Play it.
Rick gives a nod. Strasser signals to his men to continue singing, but the cafe's patrons stand up and sing along with the band, drowning out the Nazi officers, who eventually fall silent and sit back down at their table, defeated. Yvonne's also in the bar, singing along in French with all her might, while in contrast, Ilse stares at the floor. Laszlo pumps his fist in time to the rousing music as he sings. Eventually, Ilse looks at him with admiration. Yvonne's cheeks are wet with tears of emotion. Strasser surveys the packed room, full of people on their feet, cheering jubilantly after their impromptu sing-song. He seeks out Renault at the bar.
You see what I mean? If Laszlo's presence in the cafe can inspire this unfortunate demonstration, what more will his presence in Casablanca bring on? I advise that this place be shut up at once.
But everybody's having such a good time.
Yes, much too good a time. The place is to be closed.
But I've no excuse to close it.
Find one.
Renault pulls a whistle out of his jacket.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can he close me up? On what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Strasser to Ilse.
Mademoiselle, after this disturbance, it is not safe for Laszlo to stay in Casablanca.
This morning you implied it was not safe for him to leave Casablanca.
That is also true, except for one destination, to return to occupied France.
Occupied France?
Mm-hmm. Under safe conduct from me.
What value is that? You may recall what German guarantees have been worth in the past.
There are only two other alternatives for him.
What are they?
It is possible the French authorities will find a reason to put him in the concentration camp here.
And the other alternative?
My dear mademoiselle, perhaps you have already observed that in Casablanca human life is cheap. Good night, mademoiselle.
Laszlo rejoins Ilse. Taking her by the elbow, he then guides her towards the door.
What happened with Rick?
We'll discuss it later.
Ilse and Laszlo are walking up a flight of stairs leading to their rooms. Once inside, Laszlo heads for the window and looks out in time to notice someone in a white coat stepping back behind a column. Ilse joins her husband as he pulls down the window blinds.
Our faithful friend is still there.
Victor, please don't go to the underground meeting tonight.
I must. Besides, it isn't often that a man has a chance to display heroics before his wife.
Don't joke. After Major Strasser's warning tonight, I'm frightened.
Tell you the truth, I'm frightened too. So shall I remain here in our hotel room hiding? Or shall I carry on the best I can?
Whatever I'd say, you'd carry on. Victor, why don't you tell me about Rick? What did you find out?
Apparently he has the letters.
Yes.
But no intention of selling them. One would think if sentiment wouldn't persuade him, money would.
Did he give any reason?
He suggested I ask you.
Ask me?
Yes, he said, ask your wife. I don't know why he said that.
Laszlo walks towards the door to switch off the light, while Yvonne takes a seat on the edge of the bed, looking very uncomfortable.
And our friend outside will think we've retired by now. I'll be going in a few minutes. Ilse, I...
Yes?
When I was in the concentration camp, were you lonely in Paris?
Yes, Victor, I was.
I know how it is to be lonely. Is there anything you wish to tell me?
No, Victor, there isn't.
She's staring at the floor.
Then
love you very much, my dear.
Yes. Yes, I know. Victor, whatever I do, will you believe that I...
You don't even have to say it. I'll believe. Good night, dear.
Good night.
He stands up and heads for the door.
Victor.
Yes, dear?
She races over to him.
Be careful.
Of course, I'll be careful.
He kisses her on the cheek. Ilza watches him depart, then shuts the door. She heads for the window and looks outside to watch as Laszlo crosses the courtyard below. Once he's gone, she drops the blinds again and moves into the bedroom, where she swiftly slips a coat over her shoulders and picks up a small clutch bag. A few moments later, she too leaves the apartment.
Well, you are in pretty good shape, Eric.
How long can I afford to stay closed?
2 weeks, maybe three.
Maybe I won't have to. A bribe has worked before. In the meantime, everybody stays on salary.
Thank you, Eric. Sasha will be happy to hear it. I owe him money.
You finish locking up, will you, Carl?
I will. Then I am going to the meeting.
Now, don't tell me where you're going.
I won't.
Good night.
Good night, Mr. Rick.
Rick walks up the flight of steps leading to his rooms and enters his private quarters, only to find Ilza standing on the other side of the room, looking out of the window. Startled, she turns to him.
How did you get in?
Stairs from the street.
I told you this morning you'd come around, but this is a little ahead of schedule. Well, won't you sit down?
Richard, I had to see you.
Well, there's Richard again. We're back in Paris.
Please.
Your unexpected visit isn't connected by any chance with the letters of transit. Seems as long as I have those letters, I'll never be lonely.
You can ask any price you want, but you must give me those letters.
I went all through that with your husband. It's no deal.
Well, I know how you feel about me, but I'm asking you to put your feelings aside for something more important.
Do I have to hear again what a great man your husband is, what an important cause he's fighting for?
It was your cause, too. In your own way, you were fighting for the same thing.
I'm not fighting for anything anymore, except myself. I'm the only cause I'm interested in.
He opens the door for her.
Richard. Richard, we loved each other once. If those days meant anything at all to you...
I wouldn't bring up Paris if I were you. It's poor salesmanship.
Please, please listen to me. If you knew what really happened, if you only knew the truth...
I wouldn't believe you no matter what you told me. You'd say anything now to get what you want.
Ilza looks hurt by his accusation.
You want to feel sorry for yourself, don't you? There's so much at stake, all you can think of is your own feeling. One woman has hurt you and you take your revenge on the rest of the world. You're a coward and weakling.
She's crying.
No. No, Richard, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but you are our last hope. If you don't help us, Victor Laszlo will die in Casablanca.
What of it? I'm going to die in Casablanca. It's a good spot for it.
Rick turns back from lighting a cigarette to find Ilza holding a gun.
Now, if you...
All right. I tried to reason with you. I tried everything. Now I want those letters. Get them for me.
I don't have to. I got them right here.
Put them on the table.
No.
For the last time, put them on the table.
If Laszlo and the cause mean so much to you, you won't stop at anything. All right, I'll make it easier for you. Go ahead and shoot. You'll be doing me a favor.
Slowly, Ilza lowers the gun.
Richard, I tried to stay away. I thought I would never see you again. That you are out of my life.
A single tear slowly rolls down Ilza's cheek. She raises her big dark eyes to look at Rick, but the agony of the moment becomes too much for her, and she turns away. Rick looks on with concern. He steps towards her, then gathers her in his arms.
the day you left Paris. If you knew what I went through. If you knew how much I loved you. How much I still love you.
They kiss passionately. A searchlight on the top of a building cuts through the darkness. Rick turns to Ilse.
And then?
It wasn't long after we were married that Victor went back to Czechoslovakia. They needed him in Prague, but there the Gestapo were waiting for him. Just a two-line item in the paper, Victor Laszlo apprehended, sent to concentration camp. I was frantic. For months I tried to get word. Then it came. He was dead, shot, trying to escape. I was lonely. I had nothing, not even hope. Then I met you.
Why weren't you honest with me? Why did you keep your marriage a secret?
It wasn't my secret, Richard. Victor wanted it that way. Not even our closest friends knew about our marriage. That was his way of protecting me. I knew so much about his work, and if the Gestapo found out I was his wife, it would be dangerous for me and for those working with us.
And when did you first find out he was alive?
Just before you and I were to leave Paris together, a friend came and told me that Victor was alive. They were hiding him in a freight car on the outskirts of Paris. He was sick. He needed me. I wanted to tell you, but I didn't dare. I knew you wouldn't have left Paris and the Gestapo would have caught you, so I... Well, you know the rest.
It's still a story without an ending. What about now?
Now? I don't know. I know that I'll never have the strength to leave you again.
And Laszlo?
You'll help him now, Richard, won't you? You'll see that he gets out. Then he'll have his work, all that he's been living for.
All except one. He won't have you.
I can't fight it anymore. I ran away from you once. I can't do it again. Oh, I don't know what's right any longer. You have to think for both of us. For all of us.
All right. I will.
She smiles at him.
He's looking at you, kid.
I wish I didn't love you so much.
Outside, Carl and Laszlo dash for cover, and a few moments later, a car drives past their hiding place.
I think we lost them.
Yes. I'm afraid they caught some of the others.
Come inside.
Carl leads Laszlo inside Rick's.
Come, Mr. Laszlo. I will help you. Immediately.
On hearing voices, Rick moves towards the door. He pulls it ajar and peeks out, then switches off the light. Ilse joins him, but he signals to her to stay back. Then he steps out onto the landing overlooking the bar and leans on the rail to look down at the two men.
Carl, what happened?
The police break up our meeting, Eric. We escaped in the last moment.
Come up here a minute.
Yes, I come.
I want you to turn out the light in the rear entrance. It might attract the police.
But Sasha always puts out that light.
Tonight he forgot.
Yes, I come. I will do it.
Rick opens the door to his room, revealing Ilse. Carl looks shocked.
I want you to take Miss Lund home.
Yes, sir.
Rick joins Laszlo at the bar, who's tending to a bloodied cut on his wrist.
It's nothing, just a little cut. We had to get through a window.
Oh, this might come in handy.
Thank you.
Had a close one, eh?
Yes, rather.
Don't you sometimes wonder if it's worth all this? I mean, what you're fighting for.
We might as well question why we breathe. If we stop breathing, we'll die. If we stop fighting our enemies, the world will die.
What of it? It'll be out of its misery.
You know how you sound, Mr. Blaine? Like a man who's trying to convince himself of something he doesn't believe in his heart. Each of us has a destiny, for good or for evil.
I get the point.
I wonder if you do. I wonder if you know that you're trying to escape from yourself. That you'll never succeed.
You seem to know all about my destiny.
I know a good deal more about you than you suspect. I know, for instance, that you're in love with a woman. It's perhaps a strange circumstance.
that we both should be in love with the same woman. The first evening I came into this cafe, I knew there was something between you and Ilse. Since no one is to blame, I demand no explanation. I ask only one thing. You won't give me the letters of transit. All right. But I want my wife to be safe. I ask you as a favor to use the letters to take her away from Casablanca.
You love her that much?
Apparently you think of me only as a leader of a cause. Well, I'm also a human being. Yes, I love her that much.
A group of French officers burst into Rick's and head straight for Laszlo.
Monsieur Laszlo?
Yes?
You'll come with us. We have a warrant for your arrest.
On what charge?
Captain Renault will discuss that with you later.
It seems that destiny has taken a hand.
There's a hint of satisfaction on Rick's face. As the policemen lead Laszlo away, Rick puffs on his cigarette.
But you haven't any actual proof, and you know it. This isn't Germany or occupied France. All you can do is find him a few thousand francs and give him 30 days. You might as well let him go now.
Ricky, I'd advise you not to be too interested in what happens to Laszlo. If by any chance you were to help him to escape...
What makes you think I'd stick my neck out for Laszlo?
Because, one, you bet 10,000 francs he'd escape. Two, you got the letters of transit. Now, don't bother to deny it. And, well, you might do it simply because you don't like Strasser's looks. As a matter of fact, I don't like him either.
Well, they're all excellent reasons.
Don't count too much on my friendship, Ricky. In this matter, I'm powerless. Besides, I might lose the 10,000 francs.
You're not very subtle, but you are effective. I get the point. Yes, I have the letters. I intend using them myself. I'm leaving Casablanca on tonight's plane, the last plane.
Huh?
I'm taking a friend with me, one you'll appreciate.
What friend?
Ilse Lund. That ought to put your mind to rest about my helping Laszlo escape. The last man I want to see in America.
You didn't come here to tell me this. You have the letters of transit. You can fill in your name and hers and leave any time you please. Why are you still interested in what happens to Laszlo?
I'm not, but I am interested in what happens to Ilse and me. We have a legal right to go, that's true, but people have been held in Casablanca in spite of their legal rights.
What makes you think we want to hold you?
Ilse is Laszlo's wife. She probably knows things that Strasser would like to know. Louis, I'll make a deal with you. If instead of this petty charge you have against him, you could get something really big, something that would chuck him in a concentration camp for years. Quite a feather in your cap, wouldn't it?
It certainly would. Vichy would be very grateful.
Then release him. You'll be at my place a half an hour before the plane leaves. I'll arrange to have Laszlo come there to pick up the letters of transit, and that'll give you the criminal grounds on which to make the arrest. You get him, and we get away. To the Germans, that last will be just a minor annoyance.
There's still something about this business I don't quite understand. Miss Lund, she's very beautiful, yes. But you were never interested in any woman.
She isn't just any woman.
I see. How do I know you'll keep your end of the bargain?
I'll make the arrangements right now with Laszlo in the visitor's pen.
Ricky, I'm going to miss you. Apparently, you're the only one in Casablanca who has even less scruples than I.
Thanks.
Go ahead, Ricky.
And by the way, call off your watchdogs when you let them go. I don't want them around this afternoon. I'm taking no chances, Louis, not even with you.
Rick's at the Blue Parrot with Ferrari.
Should we draw up papers, or is our handshake good enough?
Certainly not good enough, but since I'm in a hurry, it'll have to do.
To get out of Casablanca and go to America. You're a lucky man.
Oh, by the way, my agreement with Sam has always been that he gets 25% of the profits. That still goes.
I happen to know he gets 10%, but he's worth 25%.
And Abdul, Carl, and Sasha, they stay with the place if I don't sell.
Of course they stay. Ricks wouldn't be Ricks without them.
Well, so long. And don't forget you owe Ricks 100 cartons of American cigarettes.
I shall remember to pay it to myself.
Ferrari smiles to himself. Nighttime. A sign on the front of Rick's reads, "Closed by order of the Prefect of Police." Rick's sitting inside, looking at the letters of transit, when the knocking sound makes him fold the documents up and stuff them inside his jacket. He goes to answer the door. He unlocks the large wooden double doors to let Renault in.
I was informed just as Laszlo was about to leave the hotel, so I knew I'd be on time.
I thought I asked you to tie up your watchdog.
Oh, he won't be followed here. You know, this place will never be the same without you, Ricky.
Yes, I know what you mean, but I've already spoken to Ferrari. You'll still win at roulette.
Is everything ready?
Have the letters right here.
Tell me, when we searched the place, where were they?
Sam's piano.
Serves me right for not being musical.
Oh, here they are. You better wait in my office.
Renault turns on his heel and walks off.
Thinks I'm leaving with him. Haven't you told him?
No, not yet.
But it's all right, isn't it? You were able to arrange everything.
Everything is quite all right.
Rick.
We'll tell him at the airport. The less time to think, the easier for all of us. Please trust me.
Yes, I will.
Laszlo joins them inside Rick's.
Mr. Blaine, I don't know how to thank you.
Now, save it. We've still lots of things to do.
I threw off the money, Mr. Blaine.
Keep it. You'll need it in America.
But we made a deal.
Now, never mind that. You won't have any trouble in Lisbon, will you?
No, it's all arranged.
Good, I've got the letters right here, all made out in blank. All you have to do is fill in the signatures.
Victor Laszlo? Victor Laszlo, you're under arrest. On the charge of accessory to the murder of the couriers from whom these letters were stolen. Oh, you're surprised about my friend Ricky. The explanation is quite simple. Love, it seems, has triumphed over virtue. Thank you.
Not so fast, Louis. Nobody's going to be arrested, not for a while yet.
Have you taken leave of your senses?
I have. Sit down over there.
Put that gun down.
Louis, I wouldn't like to shoot you, but I will if you take one more step.
Under the circumstances, I will sit down.
Keep your hands on the table.
I suppose you know what you're doing, but I wonder if you realize what this means.
I do. We've got plenty of time to discuss that later.
Call off your watchdogs, you say.
Just the same, you call the airport and let me hear you tell them. And remember, this gun is pointed right at your heart.
That is my least vulnerable spot.
Renault picks up the phone and dials a number.
Hello? Is that the airport?
Huh?
This is Captain Renault speaking. There were two letters of transit for the Lisbon plane. There's to be no trouble about them. Good.
Hello? Hello?
Strasser puts the phone down.
My car, quickly.
Prepare, Major.
This is Major Strasser. Have a squad of police meet me at the airport at once. At once, do we hear?
At the airport.
Hello, hello, radio tower. This one plane taking off in 10 minutes. East runway. Visibility 1.5 miles. Light ground fog. Depth of fog approximately 500. Ceiling unlimited. Thank you.
When he spots a car pulling up outside, the officer stands to attention inside the open hangar. Rick, Renault, Ilse, and Laszlo get out.
Louis, have your man go with Mr. Laszlo and take care of his luggage.
Certainly, Rick. Anything you say. Find Mr. Laszlo's luggage and put it on the plane.
Yes, sir. This way, please.
If you don't mind, you fill in the names. That'll make it even more official.
You think of everything, don't you?
And the names are Mr. and Mrs. Victor Laszlo.
But why my name, Richard?
Because you're getting on that plane.
I don't understand. What about you?
I'm staying here with him till the plane gets safely away.
No, Richard, no. What has happened to you? Last night,
Last night we said a great many things. You said I was to do the thinking for both of us. Well, I've done a lot of it since then. It all adds up to one thing. You're getting on that plane with Victor where you belong.
But, Richard, no one...
Now, you've got to listen to me. You have any idea what you'd have to look forward to if you stayed here? 9 chances out of 10, we'd both wind up at a concentration camp. Isn't that true, Louis?
I'm afraid Major Strasser would insist.
You're saying this only to make me go.
I'm saying it because it's true. Inside of us, we both know you belong with Victor. You're part of his work, the thing that keeps him going. If that plane leaves the ground and you're not with him, you'll regret it. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon and for the rest of your life.
But what about us?
We'll always have Paris. We didn't have, we lost it until you came to Casablanca. We got it back last night.
When I said I would never leave you.
And you never will. But I've got a job to do, too. Where I'm going, you can't follow. What I've got to do, you can't be any part of. Ilse, I'm no good at being noble, but it doesn't take much to see that the problems of three little people don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world. Someday you'll understand that. No, no. He's looking at you, kid.
Ilse manages a weak smile through her tears. Laszlo returns.
Everything is in order.
All except one thing. There's something you should know before you leave.
Mr. Blaine, I don't ask you to explain anything.
I'm going to anyway because it may make a difference to you later on. You said you knew about Ilse and me.
Yes.
But you didn't know she was at my place last night when you were. She came there for the letters of transit. Isn't that true, Ilse?
Yes.
She tried everything to get them and nothing worked. She did her best to convince me that she was still in love with me. That was all over long ago. For your sake, she pretended it wasn't, and I let her pretend.
I understand.
Here it is.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And welcome back to the fight. This time I know our side will win.
As the two men are shaking hands, the propellers on the jet plane start to spin, causing Ilse to look round. She turns back and stares tearfully at Rick.
Are you ready, Ilse?
Yes, I'm ready. Goodbye, Rick. God bless you.
Gotta hurry, you'll miss that plane.
Rick watches Laszlo and Ilse as they walk off through the fog towards the waiting plane. There's a pang of wistfulness on Ilse's face, and only a ghost of a smile as she looks at her husband.
Well, I was right. You are a sentimentalist.
Stay where you are. I don't know what you're talking about.
What you just did for Laszlo, and that fairy tale you invented to send Ilse away with him. I know a little about women, my friend. She went, but she knew you were lying.
Anyway, thanks for helping me out.
I suppose you know this isn't going to be very pleasant for either of us, especially for you. I'll have to arrest you, of course.
As soon as the plane goes, Louis.
The plane starts to move, just as Strasser pulls up outside the hangar.
What was the meaning of that phone call?
Victor Laszlo is on that plane.
Why do you stand here? Why don't you stop him?
Ask Monsieur Rick.
Get away from that phone. I would advise you not to interfere.
I was willing to shoot Captain Renault, and I'm willing to shoot you.
Hello.
Put that phone down.
Get me the radio tower.
Put it down.
Strasser pulls his gun, but it's Rick who fires first, and a moment later, Strasser slumps to the ground. A car pulls up, and a number of French officers spill out.
Major Strasser has been shot.
Renault looks at Rick.
Round up the usual suspects. Be my captain.
The officers pick up Strasser's body and carry it to their car. Rick flashes Renault a look of gratefulness for what he's just done. The officers drive off. Renault picks up a bottle of Vichy water from a nearby desk, then opens it.
Well, Rick, you're not only a sentimentalist, but you've become a patriot.
Maybe, but it seemed like a good time to start.
I think perhaps you're right.
Renault pours himself a drink, then inspects the label on the bottle before dropping it into the waste paper basket next to the desk. He stands behind Rick, and they both watch as the plane lifts off from the runway and flies into the night sky, where the fog swiftly envelops it.
It might be a good idea for you to disappear from Casablanca for a while. There's a free French garrison over at Brazzaville. I could be induced to arrange a passage.
My letter of transit? I could use a trip. But it doesn't make any difference about our bet. You still owe me 10,000 francs.
And that 10,000 francs should pay our expenses.
Our expenses?
Mm-hmm.
Louis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
The two men walk off together into the night. The end.